start over again. We almost need to have the surgery ready to go. But there's a there's a real problem in the communication chain that goes on, because you can only have, you know, you have different people listening into different conversations, and it's amazing how they all hear things differently. So my sister was telling me that she was actually talking to the doctor, and there's a risk of when they do this thing, they have to also drain fluid from his spinal cord. She told me that there is a 60% chance, and that's the highest that I've heard, that he could have paralysis from this. And so now I've got to go back with my brother, because I think he was on the same call, and he said that it was not that high. So we've got to figure this out. And that's what's bothering him, I think, is that we've got so many different – I haven't talked to the doctor. I've not been around when the surgeon's been around, or there's cardiologists. So it's just
So who's competent in your family?
The most competent is my brother, Steve. And he's the one that's been the most involved. And he came down. He's been down twice this year. My sister is the most available. But she doesn't fully, I don't know. I don't know if she's just not comprehending what's being told, or she thinks she's hearing something different, or she's confusing some of the other facts with it. So my mother and father are certainly not competent to be able to.
Right. So one of the things that
they've heard,
I mean, you got to write the stuff down.
Yeah. Yeah. And it is written down. That's the thing, is my brother has it written down somewhere. That's why I need to go back to him and see what he's got.
And they tell him, this sounds like me being the coach, but.
No, I want you to, because I'm going to take some notes so I can go back through with them. And
so here's what I recommend, that everybody have an organizational system for keeping track of this stuff, right? So naturally, what I would tell you to each person to do is to have a folder for dad. And in the folder, you take your notes so you don't lose them. And they're not floating around somewhere.
And that's really what we're missing right now, in a big way. It would certainly help with his memory right now if he could go back to that folder again.
Right. So everybody gets a blue folder, a red folder, and you know, your brother, you, and your dad. And everybody has a folder. And when you're sitting there with the doctor, everybody's taking notes, and then you compile the notes and just like you would send an executive summary. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now the doctor can do that for you, and they should. But he needs to know who to send it to. And you need, more oftentimes you need to get a release. Have your dad sign releases so that you all can get the notes from the meeting. But you then have to keep them in one place where you know where they are. Now, if you want to use a computer, that's great. But having a physical notebook to put this stuff in would be really helpful to him. So I have a folder for my disease, particularly when it was new, right? I don't need it as much now because I'm not making any decisions. But when it comes time to making a decision on my future options and care, I will get the notebook out and you know, there's three different choices, and we'll do pluses and minuses on each one of them.
Who do you make decisions with? Is it your wife?
The three decision makers in my family are my wife, myself, and my brother Rick.
Brother, okay.
My brother Rick is the only one that really gives a shit about me, except for my wife.
Is that right?
No, No, I mean, yeah. Other people do, my children, but they're not gonna, you know, they got their own problems, you know. I'm not gonna bother them with what I'm gonna do. I'll tell them once Rick and I and Marcia make a decision. But I'm not going to ask them to help me with the decision making. I'm still pretty sharp and I know more about my disease than anybody. So, you know, and of course the doctors or doctors, I would include three different doctors in my decision. My doctor here, my doctor in Florida, and I've got one in Ohio State. And I will float my status and my options to each one and ask them for feedback and what they would recommend. And I'm not afraid to do that. It's not insulting at all because there's pluses and minuses to all procedures.
My dad doesn't have any siblings, but I don't know which one of us he really would go to. I mean, he just goes to my mother.
And she can't help now. She's too old.
No, she can cannot help now.
She's like my children.
You're right.
She needs to be informed and she needs to know why you're doing what you're doing. But it's you, your brother, and your sister. Those are the three people that need to know and make the decision. With your dad. But you're the most competent at this point. He is not fully competent to make an informed decision. So he can be.
Yeah, that's true.
He can be consulted as you go. So it's really the three of you doing the homework and then meeting with him to make the decision. It's his decision in the end, but with three of you deciding that this is the right thing to do, he will go along with it.
Yeah.
But he's not
in a position. If it's written down. Golly, I should have talked to you about this before. We would have been much more organized if we had a coach. God.
No, look, when you're dealing with family issues, you're not 100% your best self. You're emotionally stressed. And therefore, a part of your brain wants to get out of there and not deal with it.
You know, I've had that feeling more this year than I have ever had. Like the months just kind of go by. And so you think, well, the longer it goes by, the more okay it seems to be. But
no, you got to pretend that you're his doctor. Okay. So you be pretend you're his doctor and you need him to make a good decision in a timely manner in his best interest. And you can't depend on your brother or your sister to make this decision. You got to put 100% of your brain to work on this decision.
I haven't done at this point.
I can tell.
I just haven't. So I just had a weird feeling for the last few weeks as they've been trying to decide on this. And I've been trying to get over there and do it, go see for myself what's going on.
Well, you need.
And
you need to be there.
Yeah. So that's why I went. I just got on a plane on Friday morning and flew out there and I was able to help out some, and you know, but we didn't, I feel like he's made a decision, but by the end of the weekend when I left, or when I left today, I wasn't sure that he had made a decision again. Now, so he's just so tired, and he wears out so quickly.
See, he's not going to be competent to make a decision for himself.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you drag him kicking and screaming to it. He just wants, at this point, somebody else to make the decision for him, and then he will go along with it. He's tired.
He is tired. He's extremely tired. Okay, well, that's good advice. We've not been doing that. My sister is she's tough to deal with because she gives orders. She doesn't really didn't have much bedside manner when dealing with him. And I think he would listen to me if he felt like I had done the research and I knew what I was talking about.
Right.
You know, just like with investments, and then he does the same thing. So,
you know, he might be tired because of his heart too, you know.
Definitely. That's what's getting him. He just, and his legs have just about given out on him. He can't hardly walk anymore.
Yeah, it's his heart.
He shuffles around.
His heart isn't doing its job. And so he's not getting enough blood flow to all the parts of his body. And he gets weaker and weaker and weaker until, you know, he can't walk. And that's the one thing letting go, and then another thing not getting what it needs. So the body starts to send signals to itself that we're about to shut down, boys.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, then the organs.
88 this year.
Yeah, then the organs start to go, and, you know, and then it's game over. So you gotta make a decision, because if the blood isn't getting to his muscles, it's not getting to his brain.
And I'm gonna text my brother right now while I'm thinking about it, and this would be a good time for us to talk while I'm here in the airport for a little while.
Yeah, and if your sister doesn't really want to hear about it, she just wants to give orders, then you and your brother make the decision and then present it to her, and she'll be like, fine, go ahead, do it.
And I think she's good with anything that he decides to do. She's just lost some of her power to influence him because of the way she treats him.
Yeah.
Or has treated him over the years.
And some people can get tired too, you know. They're done. They're sort of worn out by caregiving, mm-hmm. and the whole thing just exhausts.
My mother is certainly worn out. She is exhausted. It's just one of those times. I mean, I know everybody faces it with their parents. We just haven't had to face it before. You know, we haven't had to deal with it ourselves.
Right. And then your dad is no longer quite your dad, right? He's a kind of a different person. And you're like, where's my dad? You know? And then you get all emotional because, you know, what happens is you kind of mourn their passing as you see them age, especially if they're losing their mind. And so each time you're with them, it kind of kills you. You know, you mourn them. And then you just have to hang in there as they go through these different stages and not give up on the fact that they need you. That's the most important thing not to give up on. They desperately need you at this point.
And I'll be going out there more too. So I'm going to try to get out there at least once a month now.
Yeah, you've got to
book the next trip.
But every one of them has got to be, it's got to be organized. You got to meet with the doctor. You know, everything has to be structured so that you're not just a participant. I mean, just a bystander. you're a participant in this.
I could do that. He's got a doctor's appointment coming up, I think, on the 27th, which would be I know it's right at the end of the month. It's the very last week of the month. Maybe I should fly out there and go to that meeting. And that's with the cardiologist.
Yep.
See,
you know. Yeah, you should. Listen,
I need to find out if my brother's, he couldn't have, because he's about to go out of town. That's the thing. My brother feels like something's about to happen because he's about to go on a 3-week trip with his wife that they planned years ago.
Yeah. So, you know, we get this foreboding stuff, but operate with a sense of urgency, but not panic.
Yeah. But we're not panicking yet because he hasn't fallen or anything. That's when I think the panic is going to set in, is once he falls, he really hurts himself. I think he's going to lose the feeling that he's still kind of in control of this thing a little bit, you know?
So. Yeah. It's the, break, you know, fall when they fall and break a hip, and then that's usually when it starts, you know?
Right. Right. Yeah.
So. Yeah. You know, it's hard at 88. It's different than at 78. You know, there's other things.
A lot changes.
Yeah, there's a lot of changes,
like,
but there's
so fast.
It's quality of life. It's, you know, there's a lot of things you got to take into consideration at 88 versus 78 or 68. And, you know, what are they capable? Can he handle? I mean, a heart is probably out of the question. So there's certain things that are out of the question, you know, but they're, you know, deal with the things they do think they can do and that will give him the highest quality of life and don't wait on him. A girlfriend of Marsha's waited 10 years on having a valve replaced. Now having a valve replaced in your heart's a big deal, but waiting till it is almost, you know, not functioning, caused her to die. Okay. So instead of having a valve replaced and, you know, going through some pain and aggravation from that, she didn't make it. And she wasn't that old, you know, she was in her, I would say she was in her late 60s, early 70s, maybe something like that.
Wow. Yeah, that's way too young.
Yeah. So, and she was strong. She was an athlete. You know, her brother was a professional golfer. She was a good golfer and a good, strong kid. You know, that's my thing. You know, she just put it off. So anyway, there's certain things in your life that you can't put off. And you'll regret not getting involved. As much as it disrupts your life and all that stuff. You know, somebody needed in my life to say, time out, Rob, go see Dad. And just made it one of my 12-4-2s, you know. You know what I mean?
Sometimes the easiest to, yeah, they're the easiest to put on the back burner, especially when you've got siblings too.
Yeah, yeah. They got the ball. I'm good. I'm busy. Yeah. I got a lot on my plate, you know. Well, Dad's not going to be there. And you're going to be, what the hell did I do? I missed that. I missed that whole thing. I should have been there.
Yeah, and they need to, there's so many things. There's so many other little things. Like it's so obvious to everybody that they cannot stay in that house that they're in right now. It's
right.
Crazy. And
so you got to find them a nice retirement home
Right.
The average age of people going to retirement homes is 85, by the way.
85. Okay.
And you want to go in while you're still healthy, because they don't really want you if you're too sick.
Yeah. Well, you really don't fit in there. I mean, you want to have some social interaction. So that's the other thing that I did. One of my biggest clients, I went and visited him. He's in a he's in an independent living facility, and I went and saw him Saturday morning out there. And the place would be absolutely perfect for my parents, you know, because my client lives in a smaller unit. His wife died of Alzheimer's, so he didn't want a big, you know, he doesn't want a big kitchen. He doesn't want, so that's what he chose. But there are other accommodations where you can get a big kitchen if you still like to cook and you still want to do all that stuff. And my parents have sort of led us to believe that they have looked at some of these places. And but when I confronted, I know, when I confronted my mother about it this weekend, she told me that they have never gone. Never, not once. And I was like, I thought you guys went and looked at some of these. Said no, we made. She said they made an appointment, and they never followed through with it. They never.
What about driving?
So that's a whole another interesting, crazy discussion that we had over the weekend. So my father says he can still drive.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's wonderful. His legs are swollen up so bad. And he wanted to drive me to the airport.
Oh God.
And I know. So there's a whole thing about, well, even if I drove to the airport, let's say I drove his car, could he possibly get home? I don't think so.
Well, and this woman in California that drove into a house, right? I mean, she burns up the house, kills herself. I mean, you know, she was on fentanyl and cocaine, but I mean, old people, they pass out, they kill a family, you know, they kill a young family, you know, a young mother with three kids, and they're all dead. And so what good was that a good decision, you know?
Right, to drive. So he doesn't drive, you know, very far away. He'll drive to the grocery store, which is just, you know, a few blocks away, and he'll drive to like a CVS, he doesn't drive a whole lot. He moved the car around for me today and or yesterday, whatever it was. I don't even remember. He moved it from the garage to the front of the house, and it's just awful. It's a helpless, awful feeling. And it's so stressful being in the house with him because you're watching every movement that he makes. And he's tried to put on a face like that he can walk okay, which he clearly cannot walk okay, which is even worse. So he's not using, the entire weekend he didn't use his cane or his walker once. Well, I saw him use his cane once this morning because he was so tired out in the garage with me, but that was it. And I'm like, you're crazy. I don't know what he's doing.
Well, I told you, you might not remember that I was on the board of a retirement community for 10 years. And so I'm kind of an expert on retirement communities. And guess what? As soon as I was on the board for 2 years, and all of a sudden my mom needed a retirement community. So I moved her. I moved her to Indianapolis. She lived with us for a year, and then I moved her in. And she went from independent living to assisted living to memory care to health care, which is nursing care, to hospice care, to heaven. And it was great. The whole thing was great because I could be involved in the whole process and be with her a lot, and it just It just was wonderful. Kind of made up for the time I didn't put in to helping my dad, you know.
Yeah.
But my brothers did, you know, my two brothers did a lot with dad and mom, but mostly with dad. But they would never, you know, I don't know that they would have ever, if they'd have been a couple, gone into retirement living together. But if it's,
you know, and I wondered what percentage of couples actually go into an assisted living, or not even assisted, I guess it's, well, I mean, yeah, one of those, surely there's got to be different percentages of people who decide to do that together.
Well, it usually happens when, just like your friend whose wife had Alzheimer's, they moved in there because of her, but he's the big winner. Cause he was in there early, and then he realized this is terrific. This is perfect for me.
Yeah, he just stayed. He has lots of friends. He talks about his friends. My friend this. My friend is doing this. My other friend is doing this. My other friend's kids are involved. This, you know, so he's kept up that social interaction. And
it's money in the bank for longevity. It's fabulous.
Yeah. Yeah.
Versus, you know, I can drive everywhere and we're doing fine. I mean, all the meals are made, so she doesn't want to cook anymore. We're good. We got all the meals, you know. We can go to the grocery store, but somebody's driving us in a van.
Right. Or they're like, in the case of my client, he walks. There's a grocery store literally within a block of their place. It's fabulous. It is absolutely incredible. I was thinking, how convenient would that be? Anyway, common sense does not. Common sense hasn't found its way into a lot of their decisions at this point. So,
but remember, they took good care of you and they helped you with your decisions, right? When you were young and couldn't make them, right? They helped you. They told you what schools to go to and when to get your driver's license and, you know, helped you all through those processes. Now it's your turn.
That's true. Well, and I feel like as I'm there more, maybe I'll be able to have more of an impact. Because I told my sister, my mother treated me like a guest in the house. And I really wanted to be helpful, you know, like do some things. Well, I guess this morning she finally realized that I was not there just as a guest. So she had me mowing the yard and edging the grass and spraying for bugs and doing some other stuff. So it's like, these are the kind of things I want you to have me do when I come, you know, so dad doesn't feel like he can't do them, because he's aware they need to be done. He just can't do them. It makes him feel old and guilty, you know. Or he goes out and attempts to do it himself, which he should not do. It is 1,000 degrees in Texas right now, by the way. It's the worst I've ever seen. And we lived here a long, long time. It's the worst I've ever seen. The grass is completely destroyed. I mean, in most yards, you can tell people who kind of violate the watering restrictions, you know, but everybody else just burn up. It's terrible. So, yeah, they've got that too going on.
So you got to, you know, just some heart to hearts with your brother and sister. And, you know, I don't know what that dynamic is. And you got to think about that. But now, sooner than later, it's later than you think.
Well, we're going to call. It is later than we think. No doubt. Well, I'm going to talk to my brother in an hour. So we just set up a time to talk. And then we'll figure out. I wrote down all these things that we were talking about. So I'm going to run through it with him. And I'm going to see what he's already done. Surely he's got some of these things written down. Because he's the most organized one out of all of us in dealing with my parents. And he's been there the most and talked to the most doctors through all the whole process too. So,
and remember,
we kind of deferred to him.
No matter what he says and all that, there's some resentment that's built in there. Okay. So
what do you mean?
Your brother will resent the fact that he's done all this. Okay, so you got to be sensitive that you don't come in and all of a sudden you're the answer man and you're taking over and all that stuff. You want to be helpful and you want to help on the decision and you want to be involved, but you want to give him credit for all the work he's done up to this point.
Yeah, no, I definitely do that. I'll be respectful of that because he and I have a great relationship. He was the best man at my wedding. We just did the bike ride across Georgia together. We are like, you know.
You're like brothers.
If we were closer together, yeah, we're like brothers, but we would be like best friends. If we were in the same zip code, we'd be together every day. I mean, so.
Okay.
But yeah, he's great. Now, my other brother would be exactly what you're talking about, but my dad would never put him in a position that my oldest brother, my dad would never allow him to make those kind of decisions for him ever. You know, he's not exercised good judgment his whole life. And so he wouldn't allow him to do that.
Family dynamics. I mean, you know, last time, isn't it funny? The last time we talked, what did we talk about?
Yeah, no, this whole thing. I mean, this is interesting how it all kind of comes full circle, right? And I'm dealing with it myself, but you want to be that resource, that everything resource for your clients.
We talked about the family problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
Here it is.
Problem. Right now, I know what the family problem is.
And every family has one. Whether they admit, in many cases, it's multiple families. And like you said, there's all the dynamics of different personalities and how they handle this and whether they panic or they get angry or they, you know, it's just all kinds of weird things happen when people have life decisions to make and stress. And,
well, one of the things I thought that you really, that said that is really smart that I don't think I've tapped into is that my dad is basically like, he was a computer engineer is essentially what he was. So if he could put together all this stuff, sort of like a
spreadsheet,
like programming almost, you know, he would respond better in a logical way. Like, this really makes sense, as opposed to, I think that he's, by him not remembering things, I think we could simplify it and do it in a way where it's much more analytical, and I think he would respond better that way. Been
yeah,
more
you
emotional
gotta,
the last few times.
Right.
But,
you gotta be a little bit of Spock in decision making about health because it's so emotional.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So you gotta be, you know, pretty much bring it down to as much engineering as you can. Here's the pluses, the minuses. Here are the three options that we have. Here's the pluses and minuses to each one of them. And that's it. That's what you do. And then he can look at that and he can think about it and say, you know what? I feel good. I feel okay. I want another 5 years, you know.
Trying to think of whenever I've had to advise clients on these things. And it's interesting, I have not been a big part of those decision-making processes for clients. I haven't been part of the, been on a few of, you know, especially the money part of it. I really need to go back and think through some of my relationships and where I've been in that whole process.
Well, you can see where
you could have some resources.
Well, you can just see where you and I talking about this. You're the client, right? I'm the coach. Am I the coach of this subject? No, I'm the coach of all logical thinking. So this is just one more decision that you make in life. And you can be a big help to people because you can bring logic and process to it where they're in blah land. You know, when you get a diagnosis, you get a cancer diagnosis for the first time, you don't hear anything. Your brain kind of shuts down and you just go into never, never land. And that's part of what your dad is dealing with, is that he's, you know, he doesn't want to make a decision. None of them sound very good.
No, it definitely does not sound very good.
And that's where you can help your clients. I mean, you can help the family too, because there's all these family dynamics, and you can help, kind of be the coach. You say, well, that's not my job. Well, yes, it is.
I think in the world we live in today, it has to be part of your job. I don't think what we do anymore, you can do it without being all of that. You have to have that part of it in your, we have to be everything. We have to be everything to everybody, you know, financial. So everything that.
I think if you care.
You know, especially if you care, for sure. But, you know, we're one of the unique professions that sees our clients. Like, I've a client that I visited on Saturday, I got him just before they retired and then took them all the way through all of their traveling, all of their relationships, their kids, their grandchildren, their everything, and the wife passing, and now he's in the, you know, in the assisted living place. I mean, we've gone through all of it. We've been together 30 years, me and that client, 30 years, almost. 29 years, but my first client, basically my first client in November of 2000, no, November of 1993. Crazy.
I mean, it's an honor to do what you do.
Mm-hmm. It really is.
There's a series on Netflix that isn't the greatest series, and it's more like a soap opera than anything else, but it's called Virgin River. And I watched it because I thought, you know, I watch a movie that I like, and then, you know, then I try and have a movie that we both would like, you know? And this is a series, and it had a big, much bigger impact on me than it did Marcia, because it's a small town, and it's in Montana or someplace anyway. And it's the relationships that everybody in the town has with each other are truly remarkable. You know, there's always the bad guys that come in, so it makes it interesting. But the relationships that the people have with each other in town, and the friendships that they have, and what they're willing to do for each other, and what they consider to be normal to just help each other out, is staggering for me. So it's teaching me how to be a better friend, and what it really means to help people and to be there for people and to care for people. And I know it's a series, and you don't have to go as far as they go, but I think it makes you much more sensitive to what people need from each other and then how to deliver it. So it makes you a better person. And I hope I'm going to be a better person in the future because of it and the way I see it as having enhanced their relationships with each other. And that wouldn't this be the nice world if everybody did care and act like these people? So I'm like, wow, I need to be more like them. So I, we go 150 miles an hour, right? When you're going that fast, you hardly have time to notice anything. And all of a sudden life's over.
You know what? I've got my best friend here in Texas who I got to see a couple times. He is exactly like that. He is truly the epitome of a friend who stops and will do anything he can to help somebody. Unbelievable. I envy him. It's his schedule. He's a pilot. You know, he's got 3 children and he is wide open, but he stops for everybody and connects everybody. And he had the dinner last night for us to come together. So this is really your mastermind group, right? But, with one of our friends who reminded me that we met in 7th grade. He knew exactly where we were when we met. And as I remember that bit, he's totally reconnected us. And we talked about things that are just so amazing. You know, this guy has been through 2 divorces. And if you knew this guy, you really, really knew him. He's got just a heart of gold. I mean, just great guy, unbelievable. Always the way he's treated people has been incredible. And I don't know what we talked about, what happened in the relationships and things. And one of them was he. Anyway, my point is that they've, you know, I can learn a lot from him because he has deep relationships that are so rooted with everybody. Like, I haven't seen this guy in 25 years or more. I mean, at least. And we sat down and talked like we hadn't seen each other in 2 weeks.
Yeah, great.
It was that close. But he's maintained the connectivity of. Interesting how he does that. He's the best at it. Anyway.
Well,
so,
we've
got lots of fun things coming up.
Derek, I think we can do both. I think we just have, you know, I told one of my clients the other day, do less better.
Yeah. Yeah, you can do, I totally get that. Otherwise, you do feel like you're scrambling to get a few things done, or scrambling to get a lot of things done, I think. I do get that. If you can have less.
Do less better. Just it isn't that you have a shortage of ideas or a shortage of initiatives or a shortage of things to do. Just make sure you're doing everything you do well and you'll have more satisfaction. I was an idea machine at Merrill Lynch. Give me a brainstorming session in 15 minutes. I'll come up with 10 things for us to do. So I had to literally do less better. So in this case, let's do your dad really well. Let's really focus on this and make sure we do it well to the best of our ability. And if we need to bring in more consultants to understand what our decision is, then don't be afraid to do that.
Yeah, it's weird. That's a role I haven't really been in. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, the stages of our life are different. You know, nobody prepared you for this. It's just like they didn't prepare you for fatherhood except by watching your dad, you know, watching your friends' dads, right? So you gotta, every stage is like brand new, but as coaches, we can observe hundreds of cases and be a big help to people, like going into a retirement community. You can help tens and tens of people go into retirement communities. And then when it comes for your turn, you know what you're doing. And that's the thing, you know, by helping your dad, your mom, if they do go this route, you'll have then the experience to help others. So it's not a waste of your time. It's training. And you can be that much more competent then.
Yeah.
Okay.
I normally hand them off. I was thinking that's what I normally do. So yes, sir. Thank you, Rob. I know we didn't, probably more what I needed today.
This is what you needed, and this is what your clients need from time to time. And that, therefore, you drop the agenda and you focus on what's on their mind. Because this is clearly on your mind, and you'll feel a lot better by dealing with it, not by trying to
think about
something else.
Yeah, we definitely need to do it while it's all fresh on our minds, too, because that's the other issue, is walking away from it, and because it's out of sight, out of mind. Damn, that's the hardest thing. And then all of a sudden it's something bad has happened, you know, and I don't want that to happen. I want there to be some continuity now. We've got a little bit of we got some momentum going.
Yeah.
Just don't lose that momentum and slide back.
No, and your brother will appreciate every bit of what you're doing. So
know
you're helping him too.
Okay. Well, thank you. And
thank you.
And,
all right.
Talk with him and I'll talk to you soon. Thank you, Rob.
Yeah. Let me know if I can be of any help, because I do know something about those subjects.
Okay. Well, I may tap into you for sure.
Yeah, I'm serious.
See you later.
I'm not an expert on heart disease, but I am an expert on retirement communities.
Okay. Perfect.
Okay.
All right. Thank you, Rob.
Thanks.
You got it. See you later. Bye.